This will be an interview with the Moorhead educator Edith Scogan as part of a 1984-85 oral history project of the Minnesota State University Heritage Education Commission and the Northwest Minnesota Historical Center. As interviewer, I am Mildred Skugrud of 1712 6th Street South Moorhead, and I presently teach 5th grade at Riverside School. The time is 4 p.m. on the 10th of April, 1985. The place is the audio studio in the MSU Livingston Lord Library. Edith Scogan is retired and now lives at 801 10th Avenue North in Fargo, North Dakota. Thank you, Edith, for being with us here today, for taking the time and consenting to do this. And would you start us out by telling us a little bit about your family background, where your parents lived, and where you grew up, and when you came to Moorhead?
I grew up in Barnesville, which isn't very far away. Went to high school there and went to Moorhead State College then. And my family moved to Fargo quite a few years later. So most of my young life was in Barnesville, Minnesota. My first teaching position was a rural school in Whatcom County. It was about 7 miles from my home. I lived with a farm family. I got the position through a teacher's agency. And my first experience, I found that my preparation was rather inadequate. The first day of school, I was really at sea because I had never attended a rural school. It was a small building, and there were 23 pupils in 7 grades. I think there was no third grade in that building. And that was my first experience, and at the end of the year, I said, I have had it. No more teaching. However, the next year, I didn't start out teaching, but during the school year, early in the school year, I was asked to take another school in Whatcom County. And I taught there, which was also close to Barnesville. And then from there, I went to 2 years in another rural school in Whatcom County, where I had only 3 pupils. The first year I was there, I had 2 first graders and an 8th grader. And the second year, I had 2 second graders and a 1st grader. After that, I left teaching and finished up and got my degree. After I received my degree, I taught in city schools, small towns, 2 small towns, and then I came to Moorhead in 1945.
Going back to your family again, did your parents farm then?
No, my father was a railroad man.
Uh-huh.
And when the railroad terminal moved out of Barnesville, we moved to Fargo, and he worked out of Fargo.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I had 2 brothers.
Any of them in education? Any of the rest of your family?
My youngest brother did a little teaching. He was a career Army officer. At the same time he retired from the Army, he got his bachelor's degree in education from the University of Maryland, but he didn't really do any teaching after that.
You remember quite vividly then your first teaching experience.
Yes,
your
I do.
Very first day. Do you remember your very first day?
And yes, I do.
How you felt that first day. How many children did you say you had again?
23.
And that's quite a few in all the different grades, a lot of different grades.
I had never imagined that one teacher had all those classes.
Um, How about supplies in your first school? Books? And
well, the books and the material were adequate. Our playground equipment consisted of a softball and a bat, and that was it.
No teeter-totter?
No.
I thought every school had a teeter-totter.
No. One of the big occasions during the year was when they dug a well on the school ground. Otherwise, water was brought in from one of the farms.
From the neighboring farm? Mm-hmm. No indoor bathrooms, I would imagine.
No, no. And I was responsible for keeping the building clean and for the fires.
Mm-hmm. No hot lunch? Did you have to fix hot lunch?
No. They brought their lunches. And if somebody wanted something warm, we put it in a pan of hot water and put it on the stove.
I remember that, too. Did you have recess? I remember recess back in my school days.
Oh, yes.
And you went out to play with them at recess time.
And also we had a noon hour on the playground.
Mm-hmm. Those were important times during those early school years.
I can remember one family who had five boys, and they came to school on two horses, three on one horse and two on another. And they'd jump off on the steps of the schoolhouse and slap the horses, and away they'd go home.
They'd go back home again?
Horses would go back home.
Would they come back and get them?
No,
they walked home then. When did you first think about going into education? Did you always want to be a teacher?
No. I really thought I wanted to be a nurse. But I found out that wasn't for me, so I decided to go into teaching.
When we were growing up, there weren't as many choices as there are now. It was either nursing or teaching or being a secretary. And maybe that was easier then. Now they have so many choices. Okay. And in your first teaching job, now I think you told me, but I've forgotten. Where did you live then?
Lived at home? No, I didn't live at home. I lived with a farm family.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too, was my first experience living on a farm because I had always lived in town.
Do you remember what subjects you taught that first year? Now, with that many classes, you couldn't have taught reading, writing, arithmetic, and social studies and science to all those different grades.
No, some of them were combined, like maybe a third and fourth grade language or social studies.
Mm-hmm.
The first graders usually had to be alone because of their reading. And but otherwise, they were combined. And, of course, you had to prepare these 7th and 8th graders for the state board exam, so they had to have special attention. I was fortunate in having a superintendent of schools who was very helpful. And he, of course, knew that I hadn't been in a rural school before, so he really did help me a lot.
And he did come around once in a while then?
Maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I believe ours came around once a year probably in the rural school.
I think maybe because I was a new teacher and he probably didn't come always.
Do you remember having very many interruptions in your day back then? Did you have a Christmas program, Halloween party?
Oh, not much.
Mm-hmm.
We probably had a Valentine box and spend an hour with giving out Valentine. I can't remember that we had very much of a Christmas program, but I'm sure we had something.
Did you have any students who came to school late in the season because of harvesting and
potato picking was the big thing there.
How about early in the spring? Did they have to leave for planting?
Not too many. Maybe some of the older boys did, but not too many of the younger ones.
I know you said you were responsible for keeping the building clean, cleaning the chalkboards and so on. Did you have a furnace there, or was it a stove?
Stove.
And you had to build the fires.
With a big iron or metal jacket around it. And there was a little room that had coal. You know, you'd have to bring in the coal and put it in. And I had never tended fires in my life and had one little accident where a large piece of coal was put in the fire and gas formed inside and it exploded and blew the door open and the stovepipes down and we had to leave the school building.
Oh. Any fire extinguishers? No. What didn't start fire?
Didn't start a fire, but it
Did someone build a fire for you in the morning or did you have to come to a cold building?
I came to a cold building and built the fire.
Sometimes it does us good to think about these things and the way we have it now is so much better.
I'm thinking, I guess, of the first school. The other schools, there was someone that came in and built the fire.
How about responsibilities in the community? Were you expected to teach Sunday school?
No.
Or how about PTA? Did you have any
Not in any of the rural
schools.
You
didn't have anything like that. How about were you expected to maintain a certain standard of behavior or living or lifestyle?
Yes.
And if they had seen you in a bar, they would not have been too happy.
That's right, or smoking. This was never in my contract, but I know some people had things like that in their contract. But when you were interviewed, you were always... This was in the small town. I taught at Gary, Minnesota, and that's a real small town, and Twin Valley. And
never in any of these places did they question you as to... When you were interviewed, did they ever ask you, do you smoke or drink? They did. Being in a small community in a small town like that, how did you feel the public, the people felt towards you and towards education as a whole?
I think they were interested in the school, not in a critical way. And I thought they were very cooperative in any of the schools that I had been in. I can't remember of any special trouble that we had in any of the schools.
Did you feel that teachers were pretty much looked up to? Did you feel like an important part of the community?
Yes. And we were expected to be at the ladies' aid and the, you know, anything that went on in the town. We were sort of expected to be there.
And church, if they had a church there.
Yes. That's right.
Did you find it difficult living with the family in a home?
I wouldn't want to do it again, but at the time I guess I thought it was all right.
I know my teachers did the same thing and I never thought anything of it. Now I wondered how if they really enjoyed doing that or if it was kind of a problem.
I really always had quite congenial people to stay with. People that I had known, you know, before. I didn't really go in cold.
That would be helpful, too. How about the students? How did they feel towards learning at that time? Could you see any difference from then until now or until you retired?
Yes, I think there was a change. I think that the there wasn't as much in the curriculum at that time. We concentrated more on the basics. And I think they had a pretty good attitude. I don't think that that they had as much fun as they had later on when there were more things in the curriculum. And of course you always have some that don't like school.
Yeah.
And some that love school. And that will always be, I'm sure.
How about respect for the teacher and for elders and parents and so on? Did you feel that that was there at that time?
Yes, I do. much more than when I left.
Yeah. Mm. Being in a small town and a small community, I suppose there wasn't much association with other teachers then. Did you ever get to associate and talk to fellow teachers?
Oh, yes. Because we usually ate together, and sometimes we had rooms in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
We had either a restaurant. I can remember one town we had a restaurant where we had our meals. Another place, we had a boarding house
mm-hmm.
where we ate our meals. And most of our social life was with the other teachers.
So there was a feeling mm-hmm. of kinship,
yes,
and belonging
right.
together.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And you mentioned that you were very fortunate to have a good superintendent, so there was a feeling of cooperation and
right.
friendship there, too, with the administration. Anything else that's stands out in your mind about that first year, that accepting that you decided that was it?
No, not
any particular
really.
Child that stands out or anything?
Not really that
okay.
first year. I remember the year that I had the three. I had an exceptionally talented eighth grader, and of course because I could work so much with her, only having three pupils, she
mm-hmm.
really did well. And I don't know what's happened to her now, but at that time she was really doing great.
Did you teach your own music too? I suppose.
What music?
Yes,
if you can
right.
call it music.
Mm-hmm.
We'd do some singing. And
did you have the little golden songbook or something like that?
Could be.
I remember
uh-huh.
that one so well.
We also had an organ, I believe.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
about Dick and Jane to teach reading? Do you remember that book?
Yes,
is that
I do.
What you used?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I also remember that kids learned to read with
yes,
Dick
they
and
did.
Jane.
With Dick, See Dick, and See Dick Run, and so on. Yeah. One thing I forgot to ask you a while ago, and that was the year you retired from teaching, what year, or from being a principal. I guess retired from education, maybe.
1975.
75.
So
okay.
it'll be 10 years. This spring it will be 10 years.
Well, 10 years already.
Mm-hmm.
The time goes so fast.
That's right.
How many years did you teach, and maybe you don't remember this, before you went into the administrative end of it?
I taught about 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to Moorhead, I was hired to teach fifth grade in Sharp School. When I left Brainerd, they offered me a principalship, but I had to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer, after I'd been hired in Moorhead, a vacancy in the Park School sixth grade teacher in principalship occurred, and I was offered that. So all the years that I was in Moorhead, I was principal.
You were. I didn't realize that.
And the teaching principal, you know, in the Park School,
mm-hmm.
quite a few years, and then Riverside opened up, and I went there, and I taught sixth grade, and I think for about 2 years, or three, and then we had quite a few pupils, and the principal at Edison became ill,
mm-hmm.
so I was asked to take both schools. And then we had too many pupils for Riverside, so we had to take them over to junior South Junior High. We had 1 year 8 rooms, 1 year 9
mm-hmm.
rooms. Then they needed the room, and so some of them had to go to Central Junior High. And when I came back full-time at Riverside, the addition had been built.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 18 rooms.
And when this addition was put on, then you were full-time
in
principal.
Riverside,
right.
Just in Riverside.
Okay. Did you see any problems in being a part-time teacher and part-time principal?
Yes, there were lots of problems. It always seemed that the classroom was being interrupted, because if the phone rang, it had to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
If someone came, you had to stop what you were doing. And it was a little bit hard sometimes to come back and get the youngsters in the mood for learning again.
Mm-hmm. It would not be something you would recommend to
Never.
Save money or whatever.
Never.
Mm-hmm. How about when you had two different schools to be at one time?
That, too, was very difficult mm-hmm. because it seemed like I was always at the wrong school at the
mm-hmm.
right time.
Mm-hmm. I remember teaching at South Junior at one time when you had both buildings.
Well, that's
and
right.
never thought of it as being a problem, but I'm sure it was for the principal. When you decided to go into the administration part of teaching, did you ever miss being with the children and miss teaching as such?
Yes, I did. And I guess I missed children more after I retired, because I was with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that the children were important. My office was always open to children and when they wanted to come in. But I missed the classroom at first. Later on, I guess I got mm-hmm. used to the idea that I wasn't in the classroom anymore. I taught all grades at one time or other, but I wound up with sixth grade, which I liked mm-hmm. very much.
If you had a choice, that would be your choice.
That would be
sixth
my
sixth grade. Did you ever teach kindergarten?
No.
No. What can you think of that was probably the most interesting part of being a principal, or maybe I should say challenging part? Maybe they're two different things.
Well, I guess maybe the contact with the parents, different parents with different ideas and different problems, was kind of challenging
at
times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think we had a school where we had very knowledgeable parents, and they wanted the best for their children, and they were very cooperative. I don't feel that there were very many serious problems that we couldn't have mm-hmm. ironed out.
I've often thought of maybe the most challenging part of being a principal would be in handling complaints, if there are any, against teachers, and you know, how far do you go in defending them and settling problems such as that, to me would be very difficult at times.
I might say I had a very good staff.
Didn't have a lot of problems.
Didn't have a lot of problems,
yeah.
And we managed to iron out what we had. I missed my staff too, when
mm-hmm.
I retired.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about the changes in education as far as the curriculum load, and I'm sure you could see that from your very first teaching up to what it is now, or even at the time when you retired, all the different things that have come into our curriculum. How about special duties? And by that, I'm trying to think of just what I mean by special duties of the teachers. More along the curriculum load line, I would guess. Teaching sex education, were you involved in teaching at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
yes.
anything about the controversy that surrounded that?
Yes. It was a very difficult time, I remember that, both for the teachers and the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know there were petitions that were passed
yeah.
around and so on.
That's right.
Do you remember, were the teachers given a choice as to whether they taught it or not? I was trying to remember, did we have any part in that decision? If we felt very strongly about not wanting to teach it, seems to me that we were given that option.
I think so.
I think we were too.
And that someone else maybe that was interested in teaching it,
mm-hmm.
would take that class.
We could switch back and forth, yeah. Did you ever see any problems as far as teaching Darwinism, evolution, and things like that in elementary?
No. No.
We weren't involved too much in that.
No.
Yeah. I do remember one time when a parent came in upset because she thought I had been teaching evolution. What had happened was someone had asked a question about it, and so we had a little discussion about, you know, both theories, and I tried to assure I was really not teaching evolution. How about any changes in the public's attitude towards teachers? Could you see that from your beginning teaching until when you retired?
Well, I think that people have a little less respect now for teachers than they had then.
Mm-hmm.
This is just my feeling. I don't like to discuss this with people outside of the profession, but once in a while people will talk to me about things like that. I think maybe a lot of the strikes and things like that haven't really helped the teacher's image too much.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have a right to do it.
When you were teaching, did you find there were any opportunities for you as far as growing professionally? Were there workshops for you to go to, college courses?
Well, you see, I was here in Moorhead, and we had many opportunities to take extra work.
You got all of your education here
at Moorhead.
At Moorhead State. Did you belong to any professional organizations?
I belong to the MEA and the NEA. I'm a life member of the NEA. Also a life member of the National Principals Association. I belong to the Minnesota Principals Association. And also to their 25-year club, which if you've been a principal 25 years, you're eligible for that club, and that's just more of a social thing. They meet once a year down in Minneapolis.
Does this mean then that you get magazines and this kind of thing? Do you think they're beneficial for you? And
I think that the National Principals Magazine is way over my head right now. But I usually go through them, and I just kind of like to have a little bit of an idea of what's going on.
How about during the time when you were active in education, did you feel there were many benefits from MEA and NEA?
Yes, I did. I think many of our meetings were excellent. And you know, at one time we used to have, I think they were called district or regional meetings, you know, throughout the state. I think we had some good workshops and excellent speakers at that time.
I probably shouldn't say that, but I think much better than we have now.
Probably.
And I enjoyed the teachers' meetings when they were here in Moorhead rather than in Minneapolis.
That's right.
And now they don't do that anymore. And I really miss that. Mm-hmm. I think they were so valuable.
Yes, they were.
Very inspirational. And I felt our workshops in the fall were very inspirational.
Don't have
when
those.
I first started teaching. Yes, we do, but it seems like when I first went into teaching, they were much more of a pep talk type of meetings, and they really got you in the mood for beginning teaching in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of miss that, although we have had some good meetings too. Were you teaching at all when collective bargaining was in effect? Now, I know that you were principal at that time.
No,
were
I
you
wasn't
teaching. When that
no.
was going into effect? So that wouldn't have affected your career any at that time, but
no.
I know you were principal at the time when we would have negotiations going on and so on. Did you feel that that had any change in your relationship with your teachers? Did it cause any problems at the time the negotiations were going on?
Not any problems. Mm-mm.
It seems like, if I remember right, back in those days, we never thought about the principals being part of it as much as we do now. I think there's a little more of a feeling of one against the other now than there was then.
That could be.
At that time.
See, at one time the principals were members of the MEA.
Yes, that's right, and they're not anymore.
And not anymore.
That's right.
And that made a difference,
I think.
I think
it does. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, or you remember, do you remember what your salary was the first year that you taught school?
I certainly do. It was $55 a month.
Uh-huh.
And I came to Moorhead for $1,100 a month. Uh-huh. Not $1,100 a month.
I knew what you meant, so I didn't even sink in that you'd said that. Did you feel grossly underpaid then at that time?
Well,
maybe that first year you did.
I paid $12 for my board and room, so you know it wasn't at all balanced out.
Yeah. And it certainly has changed through the years.
That's right.
How about as a principal? Do you remember what you started out with as a principal? Was it a big jump from...
No.
No?
I said I got $1,100 a year, and I think the extra for the principal was $200. Now, I'm not sure about that. It may be that it wasn't $200. That maybe the $1,100 included the principal.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get extra later on, you know, mm-hmm. and then, of course, we got on a salary scale.
Were you paid according to the number of teachers you had under you at any time, or
no.
was it a flat?
No, just a flat. Mm-hmm.
Do they know?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know where I got that idea. How about fringe benefits in your first year of teaching? Did you have anything like health insurance? Or?
Oh, no.
No.
Nothing like that.
Do you remember when you first came to Moorhead? Did you have any benefits at all?
No, we didn't.
Do you remember your average class size when you first came to Moorhead? Was it larger than it is now, do you think?
Yes, my first year at Park School, I had 43 pupils. And that, of course, was the largest, and then it gradually lessened mm-hmm. to it down in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. We did, and that was a great accomplishment to get our class size down, and now they're back up again, although they seem to be working their way back down again. So there are some rooms who have 30 in them, but hopefully we'll get them back down again. Do you remember being affected at all in your teaching or principalship as far as World War II is concerned?
No.
Did you have any children who had brothers or fathers in the service?
I'm sure we did, but yes, I remember.
There must have been, I suppose. But it didn't seem to be a big problem.
No.
Did you notice any increase in patriotism during this time?
Not really.
Okay, how about a shortage of teachers because of...
Not in the elementary, because at that time it was mostly women, you know, in the elementary. And I'm sure in the high schools where they had men teachers that they would have noticed it.
All women in education is certainly changing.
Right.
This year at Riverside, I'm the only female in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade.
Oh, really?
And that's really different
than
what it used to be. And females in the administration, none at all anymore.
And when I first came to Moorhead, we were all women principals.
Uh-huh. And now there are none.
And at the state level, too, there were many, many more women than men. And now it's the opposite.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I can remember a little girl coming into my office from Frobfield School. And I was sitting at the desk, and somebody from Riverside came in to use a telephone, and she said, "This is the principal." A girl principal.
Is that right? We keep kidding about it at school, that probably all the problems would be solved if they had a few more female administrators and principals and so on. How about the Sputnik era? Did you see any increase in demands to stress science? And
yes, very definitely.
And they did, didn't
yes, they?
They tried to stress science and math at that time.
I think at that time we ordered new science books, and much emphasis was put on science.
It wasn't at that time, though, that they went into the modern math, was it? I was trying to remember. Modern math came along
later
than that.
It was after that, I think so.
Mm-hmm. How about censorship? Did you feel that you were affected at all in any way by censoring books and so on, or the protest groups of the 60s
and
70s.
No, I think that may have come more in the higher.
Yeah. Many of these things, I think elementary school was just bothered with that at all. And then we had the ethnic consciousness. Did you have any courses added to your teaching?
No, I don't think that we had much of a problem, because we were all pretty much of one group.
Mm-hmm. Not too many ethnic groups at that time.
No, at that time. I think there probably are more now.
There are more now.
At that time.
I have a black and a Mexican and a Korean in my room.
Oh.
So there are more coming
in.
And I think that there were courses taught more on the Indian culture and the black. And we do stress more about what contributions the blacks have made, and the Indians and so on. And I think that's really good.
Right.
Our new social studies
is.
Books are really good about doing that. How about the discipline in the school? Could you see changes from your first year until now? Were you allowed to spank when you first started teaching?
I think so. I don't think I ever did, but I don't think there was any reason why we couldn't.
And along with restrictions on discipline came the talk about suing teachers
that
for this and that.
That was quite a while later.
And I don't think we hear as much about that now again as we did for
probably
a while.
Probably don't.
That was kind of a big deal for a while. In elementary, I don't think a lot of us were affected by changing in discipline.
I don't
either.
Think so. I think maybe there was a little bit of, maybe there was less respect shown. But I don't think it was a big discipline problem.
No. I think maybe in the last few years there were a few more discipline problems, and we did go into the assertive discipline type of a plan, which wasn't a whole lot different from what we had been doing as far as a lot of us were concerned. I know there were a few years when we would hear things like, well, you know, you can't touch me or my parents will sue you and this kind of thing. I haven't heard that for quite a few years now. So, how about dress codes? They have certainly changed since you began teaching.
I think that I really approved of the girls wearing slacks. And the teachers, too, provided they were clean and neat-looking. I don't like the sloppy jeans and that sort of thing, but I think they were really a boon to kids
and
in
living
school.
In Minnesota, it only makes good common sense for the children, especially, to come in slacks.
That's right.
Do you remember the years when they wore dresses with slacks underneath?
Yes.
Because they weren't allowed to wear slacks.
Right.
And that, to me, was terrible. I just thought they'd come in a beautiful dress and then have these slacks on underneath. Of course, part of it was they had to wear them to Phi Ed class, and they didn't want to bother changing from one to the other. And I remember my very first pantsuit, you know, thinking how marvelous that was, and it really has been a great thing.
I think so, too. Especially for these primary teachers
Who are up and down.
Yeah,
and
the little chairs and so on. And
kindergarten
so
and first grade. So I think that was a good thing. I'm thinking now perhaps they need a few more dress codes again with the orange and purple hair and the spiked hair. Simply because I think the way they come, they act accordingly.
That's very true. I think when the slacks came in, the youngsters were a little bit more free with some of the things that we didn't approve of before.
I remember some student teachers coming too with when the style was that they wore long underwear tops. What do they call them? Whatever, thermo underwear tops, and that was it for a shirt, you know, this kind of thing.
I didn't.
And that didn't last too long either. So they really have improved in their dress as far as these student teachers and so on. How about prayer in the schools and religion and so on? That has changed too.
Yes, that has changed. I think that who's going to stop you from praying if you really want to pray?
Right. Silently, who's going to know? I don't remember ever starting the day out with a formal prayer. Do you?
I don't either.
No. I think they did that in some places.
That probably wasn't necessary in some places, you know, where they have many different nationalities and religions. I don't think it would make much difference here because we are all pretty much, but there would be one or two people that would object.
Yeah. I think the biggest change came in music allowed in the Christmas programs and the type of thing that you could include in your Christmas program and things like that, which they have been fairly strict about.
Mm-hmm.
And the types of things we could put up on our bulletin boards. And I had to make a few new bulletin boards because of the manger scene and this kind of thing.
In Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Washington County, they could not use the word Christmas.
Is that right?
Because of the word Christ.
Yes, uh-huh.
I remember that because when I was down there at Thanksgiving time, I helped cut out some letters for a bulletin board. And she had to have joyous holiday, merry holiday, something like that.
No, we haven't been told that yet. No. I have used the word Christmas. But we still call it Christmas vacation, too, although in some places it's winter vacation now instead of Christmas vacation. We didn't have to think about that years ago. How about the federal government's involvement in school? Were you involved with the mainstreaming of the handicapped?
No. We had the handicapped, but I think they were just beginning to mainstream them when I left. I think sometimes when we have the federal government making the rules, that they don't always apply. They don't always fit us, the individual schools. But they pay for them, so they have a right to tell you what to do.
It really hasn't been a big problem for us either because they're not put in our classrooms and left there.
I see.
And the mainstreaming has not been a big problem. Now that you're retired, would you choose education as a career again if you had a choice?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, can you tell us why?
Because there are so many other things I think I would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I would like to be in the travel business.
Would you?
And
you do a lot of traveling, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
But at the time I started out, that wasn't even heard of.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would say if anyone asked me that question. I always wanted to be a teacher since I was real, real little. But like you say, we did not have those choices, and I don't know, I may have chosen something else as a career.
I don't mean that I didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
I did.
But there weren't the choices.
But I think if I had to choose right now, knowing what I know now,
mm-hmm.
I would.
Did you ever work at anything else before or after education?
Never.
Mm-hmm. Would you advise young people today to go into education?
Well, I would tell them to investigate pretty thoroughly what they wanted to do before they chose anything as far as that goes. Yes, I certainly has been a good life for me, and I know many people that have really been fulfilled in education, and I think I have too. I can't think of any. Yes, I can. I know there were times when I wish I was doing something else, but just for the moment.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of rewarding aspects of education.
Right. Yes, there are.
Can you think of what might have been the most fulfilling thing to you as a teacher? What aspects of teaching did you enjoy the most?
Well, after I became a principal, I think I enjoyed the youngsters in a different way than I did when I was in the classroom. I think that it was very rewarding to see them come in and not know anything about reading or writing or anything, and then to have them go out and do such fine things when they got into mm-hmm. junior high, because I watched some of these youngsters, you know, and into senior high and out into college and into the world. And I felt very, very proud about some of those people those young people that I felt were helped by what I had done.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about your present status now as a retired professional in education? Do you feel as though people look up to you? Do you feel like you have things to contribute yet to the community?
Well, I don't know about anybody looking up to me, but I think I have a certain amount of respect in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm having time to enjoy many of the things that I didn't have time to enjoy before in education. Watching what's happening is one of the things. I enjoy doing what I'm doing now in my volunteer work, which is not really an education. But I really feel, now that I've retired, that I still have to have something that I have to do. That I can't just get up in the morning and say, what'll I do today?
Mm-hmm.
I have to know that today I am going someplace and I'm going to do this.
We're creatures of habit.
I guess so.
That's good, I think.
Good.
You still belong, you said, to many educational association type things like NEA.
Yeah.
And so you keep up with
That's
education
right.
in that
That's
way.
Right.
And you do volunteer work, I know. You do that in the hospital, right? For one thing?
not so much there anymore. I do quite a bit for blood services, and I work with the Salvation Army.
Oh, do you? Mm-hmm.
I have been on the advisory board of the Salvation Army for many years, and I really enjoy
that. And that's a challenging, mm-hmm. interesting
right.
thing to be doing. What changes would you like to see made in education today, if any?
Well, you see, I've been out of it now for 10 years, and maybe these changes have taken place. But I did feel that there was too much in the curriculum for the elementary teacher. I think that some of the things could have been eliminated, and they would have had more time for some of the basics. When you hear all this newspaper talk about how our children can't read, and I begin to see red because I think it's not the school's fault entirely. I think that some people have wanted too many things to be added mm-hmm. to the curriculum, and I think that the teachers haven't the time, and lots of time they don't have the knowledge of some of these new things. They have to go back to school mm-hmm. or they have to take courses. And I think that some of these things could be taken out and more of the basics.
And these are all good things that have been added.
That's
it's very
right.
difficult to know what
That's
not
right.
to add.
That's right.
This year we have added language, Spanish, to the fifth grade curriculum, computer classes, and they're wonderful. You know, it's
That's
just
right.
to find time to teach these things. And we have been fortunate to have someone teach the computer for us so far. Whether we'll continue with that or not, I don't know. But we have all stressed that there is just too much to be taught. So we need you to come to some of our meetings, I think, and help us out. We've talked a little bit about this, so maybe you don't have any particular student that stands out in your mind. Is there anyone that really you remember very vividly?
Yes, when I read this last question, I thought of one. I think he was in my first class in Park School, and I was very rough on him because I knew he had the ability, and he was lazy and liked to slough things off, and I was on his neck most of the time. And many years later, he came to see me at Riverside School. And he had a very good job. He was in the Twin Cities. And he said, if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't have gotten any place. And I thought that was a pretty rewarding thing.
Makes it all worthwhile.
That's right.
Sometimes, doesn't it?
Right.
Well, I know that you are enjoying your retirement years. I know you travel a lot and do a lot of interesting things. And I want to say thank you again, and I hope you have many, many more years of good times in your retirement.
Thank you.
Can you think of anything we forgot to talk about?
I can't think of anything.
I think we've covered it all. Okay, thank you again, Edith.